Scripture before the lesson comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing.
Thank you, Harvey.
We had set the month of January as a challenge 2019. And in that, we had planned to look at Paul's challenge to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, as he told him to do these certain things: to flee, to follow, to fight, and to focus. Now, last week, because we didn't have services because of the weather, kind of threw a little kink in our plans to look at all of those things. I will actually be out of town next week, going to the lectureship at Fried Hardman, which I'm really looking forward to. Fried Hardman, guys, lectureship is kind of like Green Valley for you teenagers. It's a great spirit builder and motivation builder for us preachers, and I'm really looking forward to that. But next week, Jeremy will be preaching Sunday morning, and Matt Bassing will be preaching Sunday night. So you'll have some great lessons. But the week after that, we're planning to look at the subject about love, because that'll be the week of Valentine's. So we may get back to the fight and the focus part of it somewhere down the line. This whole year, we're going to be challenging ourselves to be better, to grow, to be stronger, to be more determined, to be more committed to the will of God. And so this morning we're going to look at the second thing that Paul is telling Timothy here. He's told him, flee these things. These are the things you want to get away from. But then next he says, these are the things that you want to follow. And, you know, what Paul means by following here is, the definition might be, as he talks about this righteousness and godliness and faith and love and steadfastness and gentleness, is he says to Timothy, first of all, be a man of God. And that's such a challenge for us right there. In this world where being a man of God or a woman of God or a teenager of God is really a challenge, because the world doesn't want you to be a man of God. This world doesn't want you to be like God. In fact, this world wants you to, watch this now, conform to its ways. But Paul challenges us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to be different. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. And here it is, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, different, Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So the world doesn't want us to be a man of God. Paul says we can do this by fleeing these things and following these things. When we look at the definition of follow, it would be to pursue or chase after or be persistent or to strive to obtain. I think what Paul is really trying to say to us here is you need to get serious about living the Christian life. We need to get serious about living the Christian life. Because this is serious. You lose your soul and partner, that's serious. You be separated from God for eternity, and partner, that's serious. So Paul says, get serious about living the Christian life. And these things don't just come. Just because I call myself a Christian doesn't mean that this righteousness and goodness and love and these things don't just happen. Paul is telling us here, you have to work at being a Christian. It's a job. Paul said in one place, walk worthy of the profession wherein you're called. He said it's a job. Your profession is being a Christian. Now, you may work somewhere, but your profession is being a Christian. And you have to work at it in order to attain it. It's kind of like what Peter was talking about in 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 11, where he said, add to your faith virtue, and your virtue knowledge, and your knowledge temperance, and your temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness love. He said, these things you have to add to, you have to put them on top of your faith and keep working to build the kind of Christian life that we need. The NIV says in that verse, 2 Peter there, it says, make every effort to add these things to your life. So what does Paul say that we need to add to our life? Well, he says, first of all, that we need to add righteousness. Righteousness, the definition would be being proper or right in the sense of being fully justified, being or in accordance with what God requires. Now, that's just another way of saying you need to do the right things. You need to be the right kind of person. And that's possible because in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, there Paul said that we can obtain this. We can obtain righteousness because Christ died for us. What he says there is that God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous in the sight of God. That's how much God loved you. That he would let his son be made sin so that you could be made righteous. It still lost me. Why would God do that for Larry? But he did. And I am so thankful to God that he did. I'd like for us to read together, or just listen as I read to you, 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Here's how John says this about righteousness. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. And whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil's been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one is born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he was born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is one who does not love his brother. So John kind of lays it on the line here. He makes a powerful point. He said if you're practicing sinning, you're not of God. Now, if that's your way of life, if that's the decision that you made to practice sinning, sitting in this church building will not make you righteous. Now, I'm not trying to say you don't need to be here. If you're practicing sinning, this is exactly where you need to be. But the point he's making is, if you want to be a man of God, Timothy, Larry, you've got to follow after righteousness. You have to practice righteousness. Now, we're going to sin. That is because we are not perfect. But I think the key thought in that passage from John is that when we are a Christian, that's not what we want to do. I think the optimum phrase there was keep on sinning. We don't keep on sinning. We've got a whole new philosophy of life because our purpose is to commit ourselves to God so that we will seek after righteousness. And we're trying really hard to put this life of sin, this old man, behind us, because we have become new when we were baptized into Christ, baptized into his death. We were raised by the power of God to a new life. And as that new person, we're trying not to sin. I do sometimes because I'm human. But what John is saying here is that whenever you're following after righteousness, you're a man of God. One of my favorite running backs of all time in the NFL was Walter Payton. Walter Payton, in his time in the NFL, ran for over 9 miles. 9 miles. But his average carry was 4.6 yards. That means on the average, he got knocked down every 4.6 yards. But he got back up again, and before his career was over, he ran over 9 miles. Now, we're going to get knocked down a lot, and sometimes it really, really hurts. Man, it really hurts. But righteousness, being upright, doesn't mean that we're always up, because sometimes we're going to be down. And it doesn't mean that we're always right, sometimes we're going to be wrong. But just like Walter Payton, to be upright means that when we're down, we know how to get back up, and when we're wrong, we know how to get back right. And if we just keep on keeping on, it'll make a lot of difference. And then Paul said to Timothy that he needed to follow after or pursue godliness, which is a first cousin to righteousness. But a godly man or a godly woman just simply puts God in the center of their life and in the center of their way to think of thinking. Stephen Cole once said, a godly person lives with an awareness of God and of His holy presence. And so he fears God and flees sin. That says a lot right there about what godliness is and how we are to pursue godliness. We are to be godly in everything that we do. When we're on the internet, when we're in the gym, when we're in the classroom, when we're with our friends, when we're at church services, when we're at work, wherever we are, we practice godliness. And we need to pray to God to help us. I'm talking about working, doing these things, pursuing these things, but it's impossible without God's help. And so our prayers to God, our asking God's help is so important. C.H. Spurgeon wrote one time, he said, godliness makes a man like God. Godliness leads a man to love God and to serve God. Now listen to this. It brings the fear of God before his eyes and the love of God into his heart. That's the definition of godliness. And then Paul says that we are to pursue after faith. We are to pursue faith in God no matter what the situation in our life is. And sometimes it really gets hard. We know God loves us, John 3:16. God so loved the world. And he teaches us that loving him is keeping his commandments. John 14 and verse 15. Love is something we have to chase after, God says. And there are times in our life when we don't. There are times in our life when we don't always love our fellow man. There are times in our life when we don't even love our family like we should. There are times in our life when we don't love our friends like we should. There are times in our life when we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ like we should. And Paul has just added this to the list for Timothy because he realized and know that love is something you have to work at. And that's the reason why Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. This is how important it is. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have a love for one another. That's how the world's going to know. How will this community know that Johnson loves God? Because we have services. Bible study starting at 9:30. Worship service at 10:15 on Sunday. No, that's good. But no, that's not what he said. He didn't say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you hold services. Or take the Lord's Supper. That's important. Very important. That's the reason why we come. But that's not the way that this community is going to know that Johnson Church of Christ loves God. He said the way they're going to know is when you have a love one for another that's different than anything you find in the world. And so that's why we need to work on that and make sure that we have that kind of love. And then he said that we need to follow after steadfastness. Another word for steadfastness is patience or perseverance. The idea of remaining in Christ even during difficult times. Sticking with it. Sometimes steadfastness just means grabbing a hold of and hanging on, brother. Because this world can sure enough make it difficult. Jesus is a great example of steadfastness. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says there that he was able to endure the cross because of the joy that was set before him. We're talking about that in Matt's Sunday morning class right now, about the agony of the cross. And it was tough. It was hard. It was hard for the Master. It was hard for the Son of God because he was in this physical body. And this physical body hurt when they whipped him. Was embarrassing when they spit in his face. Was agonizing when they placed a crown of thorns on his head. And it hurt. And when he had to drag that cross through the streets of Jerusalem, his physical body literally couldn't do it. They had to get somebody else to carry his cross. That was a tough time. But it said Jesus was able to endure the cross because of the joy that he knew would bring to each one of us. Hanging in there. Even whenever life is difficult and tough, you may have lost your spouse. God forbid some of you have known the loss of your children. It's hard. It's tough. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you're having trouble with your family. Maybe you've got cancer or some other illness. This life, I'm telling you, will wring you out. And if you haven't set your heart and your mind on going to heaven more than anything else, this world will turn you aside. That's why Paul said, I've got my mind locked in. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. I've finished the race. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of life. And that's what we have to do in order to be steadfast. But then finally today, Paul says to Timothy here, I want you to do everything that you can do. Even in this world that is so eruptive, so disoriented, so harsh, I want you to be gentle. Be gentle. Sometimes, God, I just feel like just striking back. I get so tired of seeming like I take one step forward and then the world knocks me back two steps. And when I think my wagon is just loaded to the brim, then something else piles on top of it. Lord, I don't know if I can. That's why we have to work at it. Because it don't come easy. The definition of gentleness, people, is strength under control. Every time that I think about this, every time I preach about this, it comes to me about the horses. Of course, you know I love the horses. But a horse is a perfect example of power and strength under control. But not this past week. This past week I had the horseshoer, the farrier, to come out and trim the horses. And so I said, where do you want to do this? And he said, well, just right over there in your field. So Buddy was first, and I took Buddy and I tied him to that big 16-foot gate. And the horseshoer got his stuff and started at him, and Buddy went nuts, man. Started rearing and pulling against the gate, jerked the gate off of the hinges and up so high it actually went up over my head, which I'm pretty glad it did. Because that could have been really, really bad deal there. Jerked the gate up over my head. And just, of course, that just made things even worse. Because he's pulling against that rope and the gate. He's tugging that gate. Finally got him settled down. And had to stand there and hold him while they trimmed him. Now, that's strength and power. It's not under control. And it could have been really bad. Could have hurt him, could have hurt me, could have hurt the farrier. Fortunately, it didn't. Because we got that strength and that power. A horse is a powerful, powerful animal. Now, Lobo, perfect example of gentleness. Now, Buddy, I love to ride him. He's a competitor. We've won a lot of shows and things because he is an athlete and he's powerful and when I can get it under control and focus it, he's an awesome, awesome horse. But he has a tendency to be out of control sometimes. Gentleness, strength under control. control. Let me, in closing this morning, just read this to you. It's what J.R. Miller writes about gentleness. Here's what he says. Gentleness is a beautiful quality. It is essential to all true character. Nobody admires ungentleness in either man or woman. When a man is harsh and cold, unfeeling, unkind, and crude and rough in his manner, no one speaks about his fine disposition. And when a woman is loud and dictatorial, given to speaking bitter words and doing unkind things, no person is ever heard saying of her, "What a lovely disposition she has." She may have many excellent qualities and may do much good, but her ungentleness mars the beauty of her character. It was said of Jesus in Matthew 11 and verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle." I am gentle. So Paul challenges us, people, and boy, does he give us a challenge to follow after these things. But following after these things simply means following after Jesus. If we can help you this morning with your life to follow after Jesus, will you come? While together we stand and sing.